Welcome to the Pregnancy Help Podcast. I'm Christine Grimmett. I'm here with Sarah Dominguez, our affiliate services specialist here at Heartbeat International. And our guest is Michaeline Friedenberg from the Institute of Reproductive Grief Care to help us understand more about how grief care fits in with the pregnancy help movement and why training on grief care is so important for pregnancy help organizations. And I wanted to remind our listeners that Heartbeat Academy is here to help with your training needs. And Michaeline will have a chance later in this episode to talk about their curriculum that's featured in Academy and how you can take part in that and some other upcoming training opportunities. So with that, Sarah and Michaeline, thanks for being here. And I'll turn things right on over to you.
Excellent. Thanks so much, Christine. Thanks, everyone, for listening. I'm so excited to be joined by Michaeline Friedenberg. And I'm just going to ask you to introduce yourself, introduce the Institute. And we're so grateful to be able to sit down with you today.
Yeah, well, Sarah, thank you so much for this opportunity. And you know, we love our longtime partnership with Heartbeat. So I have the honor and privilege of being the CEO and president of the Institute of Reproductive Grief Care. So I think that the name explains exactly what we do. We're an education and research-driven organization, and we have enjoyed a rich history of working with pregnancy help, you know, clinics, centers, organizations. I think many of our programs in some ways almost kind of developed along with them. And so I look at it as kind of a collaborative partnership. I think for most who are listening, they may be most familiar with our healing websites. So we have one for those impacted by miscarriage, which is miscarriagehurts.com. And then we also, for the others, people who are impacted by abortion, it used to be called abortionchangesyou.com, and it is now yourabortionexperience.org.
Excellent. Oh, that's so great to hear. And I know both of these resources are such an asset to pregnancy help centers. Many pregnancy help centers may not even realize that they are indirectly or in this way more directly connected with the Institute of Reproductive Grief Care by actually referring their clients or their patients in whatever capacity to those websites. You know, having worked in centers myself, I always found this to be really helpful resources, especially as a virtual option for those that may not be ready to do a little deep dive, maybe in person. But just as a soft dive into some of those emotions that follow. So that to me is a great segue into our next question, which is, where do you see reproductive grief fitting within the pregnancy help movement as a whole? Again, a movement meaning pregnancy centers, medical clinics, maternity homes, adoption agencies. We know that all of these organizations in some way can be impacted by reproductive grief. So tell us more about that.
Right. Well, when you think of the statistics, and I know that your listeners are very aware of them, but I think it's always good to do a little refresher on that. So there's about 1 million miscarriages will occur this year in the U.S., about 1 out of 4 pregnancies. We're all aware of what about 900,000 abortions will occur. And then there's others who struggle with infertility. You mentioned adoption, right? Such a glorious event, and yet one that can have lots of grief that is surrounded with that. And so just because of the sheer numbers of individuals, and we know this doesn't just impact women, it impacts their partners, it impacts their family members and their friends. And so every single day, these organizations are interacting with those who've experienced a reproductive loss. It may be the loss is happening right now, or maybe it was yesterday, a week ago, a year ago, 10 years ago. And research shows that the way that we address or don't address those losses is going to impact the healing trajectory either positively or negatively. And even though there's so many people who are impacted by reproductive loss, we really don't talk about it culturally, and we don't do a good job of acknowledging those losses. And so most of these individuals will never have had their loss acknowledged. They will not have been given permission to grieve. They will not have been offered support. And that is something that we can do. We can acknowledge and we can offer. And in simply doing that, that can make all the difference to that person.
I really appreciate that. I know that's a question that we get a lot from our pregnancy center, medical clinic friends, even maternity homes. How do we address the deeper issues that come alongside really a reproductive loss. I mean, miscarriages in general are one question that we get a lot. So it sounds like this is something that you're very keyed into, and have resources to support those organizations that are there to support their clients, the women and the families that they're serving, as you mentioned. But what's some of the growth or the changes that you've seen within this area in the last few years, even? Because I know that I've noticed more indirectly some growth or changes. So I'm curious to hear what your insight is into those.
Right. And then I'll be curious to hear yours as well. I'm kind of thinking of two things. One is I just wanted to comment that just within the Heartbeat affiliates themselves, as a person who kind of sits on the outside, I have noticed this just, I think, more rapid pace of, there's always been excellent service. So I don't want to say it that way, but I feel like it's like this, like the standard of care just keeps increasing. Mm-hmm. And there's this march to do that, which is fantastic, because we know the impact that that's going to make. And a way that the Institute intersects is that those questions are being asked. How do we help our mm-hmm. clients and our patients who've encountered reproductive loss? And so we have more who are taking our classes, more who are earning certificates that we offer. And in doing that, the feedback that we're hearing is that this is often transformational for their organization. So it opens up a whole nother way to be able to attend to the needs of their clients or their patients. I think it helps. I think it's probably in the way that we do our training as well, is it's really helping conceptualize how we attend to the whole person, how we work together as a multidisciplinary team. I've also heard that they're becoming known as a resource in the community that they hadn't in the past, specifically in reproductive loss. So I think what a wonderful way to be a resource for the community, but I think also what a great way to shine a bit of a spotlight on the wonderful services that they offer. And then beyond that, we've been able to, as an organization, we're now working with major healthcare systems, in particular addressing early pregnancy loss in the emergency department. So of those million miscarriages, 500,000 to 700,000 patients are going to enter an emergency department, and they're going to encounter staff who've had no training on the emotional or grief aspects. And so you can imagine how a traumatizing experience can become even more traumatic for them. Also, those, even though we don't know exact numbers, but increasingly those in the midst of a medication abortion are also encountering an emergency department, again, with those who haven't received training. So we're really encouraged that it's small, but it's still significant that there are systems who are noting this is a gap, and we need to address this particular gap. And they're entering into a place, again, that can, you know, we can't erase the loss, and we can't erase some of the inherent trauma of the loss, but we can certainly not add to it, and in fact offer things through our words, through our nonverbals that mm-hmm. acknowledge, bring them comfort and hope. We can also offer them support resources in a hospital setting. They can bring in a social worker, a chaplain. Also, because many go home and are going to finish delivering their baby, how can you do that in a way that is going to be dignified and allow for memorialization of the remains?
Mm-hmm. There's so much there. I mean, I wish we had hours just to unpack everything that you are sharing. And actually, we'll get to this in just a minute, but in so many ways, this is what the summit that you have coming up is going to be, taking deeper dives into these things that you address. So this is a quick plug here. We'll get to it at the end, but stay tuned, because we're sharing more about how you can take a deeper dive into each and every one of these areas. But, you know, as I'm thinking through this for the people who are working within pregnancy help, knowing that this is this sort of challenge that our clients are facing, like complex grief, sometimes grief that isn't even necessarily acknowledged within the larger community, or maybe it's secret, not something they've shared with anyone else. You know, for those that are working directly with clients, when we hear those things, it can be really difficult to in the moment think through, how do I support her? And so I think one of the best things we can do as pregnancy helpers is have a plan for what do we do, not if, but when we encounter a client who has experienced miscarriage in the past, perhaps has abortion experience previously, or maybe she at this moment is experiencing one of those things, whether she's in need of abortion pill reversal, she's experiencing either a risk for miscarriage, or perhaps is even miscarrying, and having a plan for that, whether this is a resource we offer in-house, which that question is really answered by your organization's mission. Does this advance our mission? Or is this something that we can refer to? Is there something in your community that you can refer to for resources, or an online resource? But either way, the Institute for Reproductive Grief Care has great information about how to answer those questions well for your own organization. And the last little plug I'll include too, because I know this is something that I've heard from the Institute before, is acknowledging reproductive grief, of course, for our clients, but also for our workers, because the reality is that pregnancy help, many of our volunteers and staff members have themselves experienced some sort of reproductive grief. And I think it can be easy to focus in just on the clients and forget that the helpers sometimes need help too, especially in the work that we do, where we're constantly reminded of, or perhaps kind of set face to face or even toe to toe with the client who's experiencing something that feels very similar to what we experienced. So, Michaeline, that's kind of a question that is off the list that I had, but I'd love to know, do you have any thoughts to share about helping our helpers within the movement?
Well, and I'm so glad that you brought that up. So actually, as you were talking, I just, our team had conducted a training for three different pregnancy clinics this past weekend. And they were doing it's a multidisciplinary intensive. So it's an advanced course, and it's an intensive course. There was a lot of crying that happened throughout that day. And individuals, and one took me aside and said, I did not expect this. My miscarriage was decades ago, but it's all of a sudden I was reliving it. So we have to be so tender and so careful with each other. I think it's also a benefit of a pregnancy help organization that I think there already is a culture there of being supportive to each other. We don't always encounter that when we're working with some of the other systems that we do. So they're having to like learn all of this from the ground up. But so being in tune with, yes, that this may bring up maybe my own experience, or maybe it's another family member. For someone, they were telling me it's their daughter recently had a miscarriage, right? So the family is dealing with this. I think also that helpers tend to be really hard on themselves and judge themselves and feel like they're failing, like, or they've done it wrong. And a lot in our training is we talk about, well, we're going to provide you with the research. We're going to provide you with best practices so that you can be confident that the things that you're saying and doing, even though the person you're with is often very distraught, so you're not going to see the end of the story, but you can be assured that the things that you are doing is setting them on a different trajectory. There will be comfort, hope, and healing that is happening. But with that, it also means in each of our classes, we spend at least a little time, and in our certificates, we spend more time on self-care. So what does that look like? How can I understand my own risk factors? How can I assess to see where I'm at, right? So we don't let something get too far where suddenly I'm so burned out, it's almost like you can't return from it. And that's where we see people drop out, which is just so unfortunate. And then also putting together your self-care plan. And people love when our team walks them through the self-care plan. And then I get to hear occasionally, I had someone who had taken a deeper dive into an individual certificate. She's actually a perinatal bereavement care coordinator for a hospital system, and just said, I have to tell you, I took that course a year ago, and the difference that it has made for me professionally and personally, but then also organizationally. So what are some things that we can do that would be best practices that we are letting our volunteers and our staff know that we value them and that we understand that there will be times that they need replenishment and refreshment. And there may be a day where they cannot perform a task because it's just simply too close and too much. And that is not a failure, and you're not going to be penalized. We want to hear that so that we can surround you and we can make sure that you're protected in that moment.
I love that. And for anyone that needs to go back, rewind, listen to that again, because that is such a true challenge, I think, for helpers in general, pregnancy helpers specifically, is giving ourselves the space to take care of ourselves first. I was just on a very long flight recently and thinking of what they tell you on every flight is to put on your own mask before you put on the child's mask. In this case, we're offering ourselves care before we offer our clients or our patients or the moms in our maternity homes care. And that is such an important piece that shouldn't be an afterthought. And it sounds like for these programs that you offer is not even close to an afterthought. It's actually a core kind of token to what it is that you're moving through within the program. So that's just so great to hear.
Absolutely. When we work with the health systems, it is required if they are providing reproductive grief care education for their staff, they must also offer the self-care courses that we have. Just because we're so worried, these are on-demand recorded courses. We're not there with them.
Right.
So we're not able to see their body language or attend to them. But in this instance, at least, there's a class that they can take. And for those who earn an organization certificate, it is required that they not only show us that they have a self-care policy, but they have to demonstrate that that policy is actually active and instituted.
Excellent. That's so great. Talk about a cultural shift. I just am so excited to think of where those kind of intentions lead us as a help movement in the next decade. So thanks for sharing more on that. And you did mention earlier about the Institute of Reproductive Grief Care being keyed into not just education, but also research. So we'd love to hear more about some of the research you've been able to do. And what are some of the findings that you're able to share with us today?
Hey. Yeah, research is so important, right? For us to be able to know how can we be confident again in what we're saying, what we're doing. So we have had the privilege of partnering with a number of institutions and being an encourager and a facilitator and an introducer, if you will. So we've actually introduced researchers to each other that we hear like they have a special interest on reproductive loss and how it impacts the workplace. And so we're able to bring them together so that they can collaborate and they can pursue and push that research forward even more. Actually, I'm gonna make like a comment on that. With the workplace, it makes sense, but it never occurred to me that the first or second person that is notified of a miscarriage, if you're in the workplace, is often your supervisor. And so here you have this kind of poor person who's hearing this news and no one's ever told them, right? How do you handle that news? What do you say to them? And then do we even have any policies like in our employee handbook about how to handle this and bereavement and all of that? So really fascinating stuff. And for those companies who handle it well, they see higher employee satisfaction and they see higher retention. Communication, right? The words that we say. Again, kind of reflecting on this training back from Saturday, we started out the day asking after introductions, what's the one thing that you hope to get out of this? And I think 80 to 90% said, I want to know what to say. Mm-hmm. And then throughout the day, they'd even say, I'm so afraid to say the wrong thing. So we do work with IUPUI is one of the institutions, and with some others that look at their communication studies. And communication studies are often, this is going to be patient client driven. So they're qualitative studies. They're so important to do this. And that has informed our language choices. It continues to inform how we do our training, what patients are saying that they want, that they appreciated, the things that were the hardest for them. So that for us, we look at is that's a really important part, and we put a lot that's there. And then we had recently, this was really neat, we had the opportunity to contribute to a neonatology journal and a textbook.
Oh, wow.
So here you have later losses or these very fragile infants. And we actually had a neonatologist who literally pursued us. And I'm going to say pursued because he called and emailed me numerous times. And my response was, our specialty is more in early losses, and there's probably someone out there who might be able to do a better job. And then he kept coming back and saying, I can't find anyone. I can't find anyone. And you need to do this. We need your help. He said, as neonatologists, we're experts on working with these fragile infants, but we have no idea what to say to these parents. So that was really neat and affirming. And again, a lot of that was language. What do you say? What do you say? How do you say it? Right? So if you're talking with a parent and you're just busy on your laptop or your tablet or futzing around instead of pausing, looking at them in the eye, being okay with silence, being okay if your patient is angry or crying, right? So those types of things of learning that those empathetic communication skills that are really important. And then the final one I wanted to tell you, we're really excited about this. Our biggest project right now is developing a 5-question screening tool. So there are some ways to, you wouldn't say screen. There are ways to measure reproductive loss, like the perinatal grief scale, and there's a couple other scales, but they're long, they're cumbersome, and they are not appropriate within like a primary or OB setting. And so we knew we needed to have something really simple. So we adapted Dr. Hall's, with her permission, her brief grief questionnaire. It's 5 questions. And so we've been through 2 rounds of research, a clinical trial as well as a communication study. And the clinical trial validated the tool, which is awesome. The communication study, though, pointed out that a couple of our questions, the wording was a little too rough. It was potentially traumatizing or triggering for the patient. And so we received great feedback. We know we need to adapt, modify these questions a little bit. So we will shortly be entering into the phase where we actually will be doing some A/B testing on questions. And then that will go into specificity, sensitivity. Hopefully, sometime next year, we can open it up to more sites. Mm-hmm. So that we'll have multiple site locations, so that in 2026, it is our hope that any organization, including the pregnancy help organizations, would be able to use this with very little training, probably doing like an hour long, more on how to administer and how to respond to the patient. It's going to be more of the tool is self-explanatory. It's really easy to use. But again, and this is what the patients were saying, they were saying, we want to be asked these questions, because in asking these questions, our loss is being acknowledged and validated. And perhaps I do need to have some additional support. So that's a way to open that conversation and then be able to go from there. But they also said, then if I take this and then my provider doesn't even acknowledge it or barely says anything about it, that would be more painful than not being screened at all, which makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. And so we're really looking forward to that. We're really excited. IUPUI, so it's Indiana University, Purdue, Indiana University. They had published recently a beautiful piece, because 2 of the main researchers reside there. And it's this beautiful piece, and it was picked up by MSN News. So we've been getting more attention around it. I think the headline was something like, this could, right, kind of transform care in this area. And so we're really excited about what that could mean.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's so exciting. And my first thought goes to any pregnancy center, medical clinic, home that's asking, what do I say and how do I say it? Like, stay tuned and really key into the Institute of Reproductive Grief Care, because they're really trying to answer that question in an effective way, not just with, you know, words that we think of, but trying those words through the validation of research, which is excellent. And what we really appreciate within the pregnancy help movement, it helps us to go further. So we're grateful for the work you're doing, Michaeleen. And we know that you've got a lot of opportunities for education. I know some people are probably wondering, well, how do I, you know, tap into the resources at the Institute? What is available to me, whether as a worker or as a trainer? So tell us more about what you have available, what you have coming up.
Great, thank you. Yeah, I'd like to highlight three things, and everything can be found on reproductivegrief.org.
Great.
And on reproductivegrief.org, you can also, I mentioned the healing websites, even though you can go directly to the healing websites, you can also find links there as well. There's even some helpful, like, you know, kind of what to say, what to do for family members and friends, some great tips. But the three things that I think would be probably most interesting and helpful for any of your affiliates would certainly be the foundational course that we are now really happy to offer that in conjunction through Heartbeat Academy. And so that is a popular class. It's a two-hour webinar. So you will be learning the foundational concepts, the research behind that, and then you will have time to practice it.
Excellent.
We always want things to be practical. Our whole aim in our education is that you should leave feeling confident and being able to use this with your next patient or client.
Awesome.
Yeah. We understand you're still going to need to practice, but we're all learners. We're lifelong learners. And so as we say, and research backs us up, it is better to say the wrong thing than nothing at all. And so we will get better, right, as time goes on. So certainly I would encourage checking out that class that's offered quarterly through Heartbeat Academy. I've touched on a couple times that we do offer two certificates. So one of them is an on-demand certificate for individuals. And so they'll take 8 courses. And so they'll come out with a deeper understanding of these foundational concepts and have more proficiency in this. And there's a foundational course, but there's I think there's 3 different that focus specifically on different areas of research. So studies and what we can take out of that. There's a walk through our healing websites and how you can use those as an aid to whatever other support services that you have. And then there are 2 self-care courses, going back to the self-care.
Awesome.
So that's part of it. We get great feedback from that certificate. Also, I had mentioned an organization certificate. And so this is where a certain percentage of your staff is going to earn that individual certificate. But then our team will work with the organization to do some assessment from website verbiage through your intake forms, and then that self-care policy. And then we just want to be a resource, right? Every organization is going to have some slightly different needs. And so that allows access to have our team be able to help them through that. Okay, and then the final thing,
mentioned our event. Already, because that is some rich resources right there. So yeah, tell us more about what you got coming up.
So on March 22nd, we have a symposium. The theme of it is community, a dynamic approach. And when I think of community, I think of Heartbeat affiliates and just thinking, okay, so we've brought in experts from around the country who are going to be making different presentations, whether it's on cultural, right, cultural competency. We have a really interesting on infertility and actually like how to start conversations about infertility, because that's such a hidden and painful grief that many people carry with them. We also talk about like how to use community resources, how to do a support plan. So it's going to be a really fantastic day. People can come here in person in San Diego, or they can join us virtually. And in each instance, it's unique in your ability to network and to have some really vibrant conversations with the different experts, including virtually. We have a lot that goes on with them as well. And so we had a number of Heartbeat affiliates participate last year. We got excellent feedback. We continue to hear excellent feedback. Many of them are coming again, whether it's in person or virtually, and they're bringing more people on board. So we're really excited, and I'm really hopeful that more will participate, because there's the presentations, but this is not meant to be talking at you. Mm-hmm. This is meant to be networking, collaborative, to have great, vibrant conversations. And so I just think there's so much that your affiliates have to add to this conversation that we love them to be a part of it.
Oh, we so appreciate that. And speaking from experience, there's nothing like being there in person. I had the pleasure of representing Heartbeat International in person in San Diego. And if you're looking for a place to vacation, go to San Diego. So okay. You get a 2-for-1 in that. But you're so right. The dynamic conversations, you're sitting down at diverse tables of people serving in so many different capacities, but the way that we overlap within this one particular need or question is really powerful. And this year, look for my name virtually. Heartbeat International will be there. Again, I'll have the pleasure and privilege of representing Heartbeat in that way. So we can't wait to see what we get to learn again this year. But I understand that you have a special offer for our Heartbeat affiliates for this summit.
Yeah, we do. I mean, because we love our partnership. So there's a 15% discount. So on checkout, it's Heartbeat 15, Heartbeat with a capital H. And I think these things are probably going to be available for them to find, right? Links are outside of this. If you have a group of 3 or more, please reach out to us, because we would like to offer you a bigger discount and just kind of talk to you about your needs and see what we can do.
What a generous offer. And this is really a great opportunity, whether it's one person from your team reporting back, or like Michaeline mentioned, if there's many of you that are able to join, be sure to reach out to them. Yeah. But either way, take advantage of that discount for this upcoming symposium. You're sure to learn something new and have something to bring back to better serve our clients, our patients, our moms in the maternity home. That's what we're all about here in Pregnancy Help. Yeah. So we're grateful.
Can I mention one more thing, Sarah?
Please.
Actually, as we're talking about this, because I realize that sometimes people assume it's your reproductive loss coordinator, or maybe it's your nurse, or maybe it's your counselor. Everything we do in our education is multidisciplinary. We really emphasize teams, because your receptionist is sometimes, after going to the website, the first person that they're speaking with, interacting with. That person really, that's I think one of the most important parts of your team, right? Mm-hmm. But then you also have nurses, stenographers, counselors, it's doctors. And that's what we had represented at the symposium last year. We will again, that adds to the vibrancy of it too. And then all of our courses too are very, it is for anyone who is going to be interacting with clients or patients, to help them in this area. And again, everything at reproductivegrief.org, you can find it all there.
Awesome. Well, I personally look forward to seeing you again virtually on March 22nd, and hopefully we'll have some affiliates that join in as well. Be sure to look at the notes so you can get that website, that discount code, and to learn more about everything that is happening at the Institute of Reproductive Grief Care. It is a wealth of information, education, training. You could spend days there. So we look forward to hearing from our affiliates too, what you're learning and how you're applying these principles within your own care. But Michaeline, thank you so much for being here with us today, sharing more about the Institute, your education, your work, your research. All of it is so important in this movement. We're grateful for what you do.
Oh, well, Sarah, thank you. And we're big fans of Heartbeat. So this is really... it's an honor and a privilege. Thank you. Thank you for the work that you do.
Absolutely. Well, thanks everyone for listening.
All right. Thanks, Sarah. Thanks, Michaeline. I absolutely will add to those show notes. So check out those. Also share this with others who could benefit, others who are doing ministry work, and subscribe to get updates on more recent episodes. And with that, we thank you and hope all of our listeners have a wonderful rest of your day.